Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis C. Oji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Glory to God. Thank you very much, choir. So we're going to be looking at something very important tonight, and I want us to reason together a little bit before I get into the discussion tonight. I want to talk a little bit about God's love, and I want to ask a question as we start tonight. Can you remember any incident in your life, anything that has happened or that happened at any point in time where you began to question the love of God? Something that made you feel like, oh God, are you sure you really love me with all this happening? Are you there? Where are you? What's happening? Do you really love me? Do you have anybody? Let the microphone go around. Just share with us. Everybody will not be able to. Maybe three or four experiences. I'll try to. Okay. Microphone, please. Can we get microphone at the back? Those of us online, make sure you're focused. Don't fry plantain and beans this night. Just focus. Amen.
Praise the Lord, church.
Hallelujah.
Like, this question really got me. Like, it really got me.
Okay.
I'm trying to be so emotional right now. But back then, years back, growing up as a child, like, I grew up as a member of Christ Embassy. Okay. A member of Christ Embassy with my dad. So back then, like, my dad is kind of person that he doesn't talk carelessly. He hates careless words. He has trained me so much in the fact that I don't just talk anyhow. But on 1st May, it happens to be that I lost my dad.
1st May.
On 1st May of this year.
Remember the date.
I lost my dad. And when I lost my dad, like up to now, this moment, I'm still in shock that I don't even believe that my dad is still dead. Like, I'm really shocked. I'm even shaking as I'm talking right now. Because my dad has been someone, like, if I'm sick, he tells me Prince. Because my name is Prince. He calls me Prince. And my native name is Kelechi, because I'm from Abia State. So he calls me Kelechi. So, like, each time I feel so sick, or my mom or my siblings are sick, he tells us, do you know who you are? I'd be like, Dad, yes, I know who I am, but I'm sick. And then he tells me I should cast it out with my words. That it's more power. Like, my words are very, very powerful enough to get me anything I want.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of shocked that this person that I'm talking about right now, like, he doesn't believe in sickness. He's so bold enough that, he really knows who, like, ash. My dad doesn't believe that he's going to die anytime, any soon. Like, he doesn't believe in death. But the day he died, I came across, like, I'd be asking God this personal question. God, where are you? Why did my dad have to die after all these things he said? Yeah. Why? What happened?
Well,
what happened?
Okay, I understand.
I was really down.
Yeah, I understand. It's well. I understand that. Yeah, it can be very emotional sometimes when people you love. Okay. Somebody else. Okay, let's take one. We'll come forward. Okay, there's someone at the back. Okay, just take that one. Then we'll come forward.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, Papa.
Good evening.
Okay, let me say 2019, 2018. At that point, I just finished secondary school. I was staying with my brother. And though the things that happened then wasn't personal to me, but to my brother, because I was staying was kind of breadwinner, doing everything. But at that point, I just gave my life to Christ, seriously, following God, praying, doing everything. And even my brother was so proud of me, like, guy. But it got to a point in his life that things just went south. And it got so painful. I drew back a little. I questioned so many things. What's not the essence of my prayers? Things weren't going on financially. I took some steps that were so drastic. I just God's mercy that brought me back to track. Just God's mercy. And there were, that point wasn't easy. Only God's mercy. Because I don't know how. All glory to God.
Okay, somebody else share with us. Somebody's here. Yes, she wants to share something.
Good evening, church.
Good evening.
So it was 2020. Yeah, I actually grew up in a Christian home. But that day, I was going to church. Thursday evening service. I just entered a keke in front of my house, a tricycle. When I, at some point, someone else entered, another person entered, and these guys were with guns. They actually took me from there, and the rest, like, I stayed with these people for 4 days. I was not like, is it bad that I was going to church? Like, I was actually going to church. God, Abby, did you not see that? Like, it was so terrible then. When I even got back home, we paid all of that. I was wondering, like, were you sleeping? Like, what
they
happened?
They kidnapped you for 4 days.
Yes. That was like the horrible times of my life. And I questioned God. I did not just question. I was like, I was not going to go to church again. Well, if I'm going to be serving somebody that will allow people to kidnap me, why not just sleep at home and rest? But then, praise to God.
Hallelujah. Yeah, that's serious. 4 days. Wow. 4 days of torment. Sit down and say, you see you and your God. A fake God that you are serving. That, everything will come through your mind. Okay. We've done a little bit on this road. Let's do here a little, and I'll see if we can move.
Praise the Lord.
Hold on. Start going to your missional communities. Go to your MCs every Sunday. That's where you'll be sharing things like this. So ensure you're part of an MC. I've said it before. God bless you there.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Really, I'm scared to share this, but because I know some people here, but let me just say it. I'm the first daughter in my family, and I dropped out of school because of my dad's financial status. So I'm a fashion designer. I decided to like start a handwork. Then I started the handwork. I don't know, this was just bad for me. I don't know, sometimes I'll just sit down in my shop and be crying. And be asking God, now bad is how I stop school for my other siblings to like go to university. Even at that point, Sev, that's the time that married men remember me. I swear. Now that time married men call remember me.
Yeah.
Baby, I will take care of you. Baby, I will do this one. Baby, I will do that one. I will do that one. I was down. I don't know. Let me not lie. I accepted one. Yes. Because of the way things were for me. And the guy was supportive, you understand? But at the point of time, I asked myself, what am I gaining all this thing that I'm doing? I told God that, God, please, if you don't do something from now till October, I swear to you. No, seriously, I told him that I will go back to that thing. I will go back.
Yeah.
At least it's paying me. I will go back. See, I'm not joking.
I understand. Like, is it this October you're talking
this
about?
This October. This October.
Not, don't worry.
I said, I'm going back. Why will my family be using me to be catching crews that my junior sister is helping out with some things in the house? And me, I cannot bring anything to the table. That was the need of me stopping school and all manner of things.
I understand.
But to my greatest surprise, I don't know. God has been faithful.
Wow. Yes.
Like, I just pray that It doesn't stop.
It will not stop.
I just pray because 247, my leg no they rest for machine. I am like, I just want to thank God.
Yeah, to continue to get better. Amen. Okay. We've taken two on this row. Just one here. Okay, let's take from there soon. Come on.
Okay, praise God.
Hallelujah.
All right, so mine was, I'm actually 200 level now. And so when I got into last two, I was admitted as a law student. And then about 7 weeks to, 3 weeks to exam, they changed my course. I was checking, I think Jamport, I was seeing law. Last support, I was seeing mass comm. So it was so complicated. And, you know, we actually met a lot of people, even to the VC and even to the pro-chancellor. And all of them were promising that, okay, system error, all of that. So they told me to continue in law. And so, you know, I've already worn my white and black every time. People knew me. So, and then I told some of my classmates that time. They knew about it. So, and actually my nickname is Jesus Baby. So anytime they asked me, they would tell me that, Jesus Baby, go to mass comm, be doing the two. Then I'll confidently tell them that, it's not the God I'm serving. I already prayed to him. He's going to do it. So anytime anybody asks me, that's what I would tell them, that don't worry, God is going to do it. So about 3 weeks to the exam, I had to just move because they did not do anything about it. And then somebody came to meet me. I was like, okay, Shavi, you're calling yourself Jesus Baby. Why do you not tell your daddy to change it for you? And then I had so much faith in God. I knew that my faith was not shaking at all because I trusted in him so much. I saw it as a little thing that you could just do, but he did not do it. So I was about questioning God, but you know, God cannot be questioned, and I just had to accept it that way.
Wow. Okay, somebody else. Yes, let him speak.
Good evening, church.
Good evening.
So, well, it's very strange if someone close to you dies, like someone you see every day. So there was this woman, she's a pharmacist, she's near my house. So every day I'm coming back from school, I always see her. Then one day I heard she was sick. She had a son. So, and she celebrated her birthday very near that day. So I was coming back from school. Then I saw people gathering at her house. And then someone passed by and said she was dead. And this goose pimple just filled my body. And that night, I was just like, God, are you seeing this? Like, even during the COVID-19 time, there was this video. And the woman was so emotional. I think she was one of the first victims of the COVID-19. The way she was crying, that her mother, the way she left, so emotional.
Okay, let's take one around the choir region.
Okay, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So this will be very strange to everybody hearing this. Okay, so most people know that I've graduated from school, but something happened, and I have to transit to another department, then start from 200 level again. So most times I question God, why is this happening to me? But then he kept on reassuring me that I'm with you. I love you. But then I'm like, God, what's up? My mates, they've served, they are done, they are working, and I'm in school. But then God is faithful, and he kept keeping me strong. So.
Oh, good. It's well. There are many hands. We can't take everything. Your missional community, you just be like 15 or 20. They can take everybody. But I can't take everybody in church. Let's just take...
Okay, praise God.
One more. Hallelujah.
Sorry. Okay, so I think this for me, before I graduated, I think my 200 level. Over time, I used to be very, very, very sick. I think that was one of the things that even brought me kind of closer to God. And also, I remember this day, many people always ask me that, what happened to you again? So when probably I have like crisis in the faculty or something like that, what happened to you again? What happened to you? And then when I get that again, I'm like, are you okay? Are you all right? So this particular day, I met these girls. I went to get something, and then these girls were talking. Then they started saying that they started doing faculty awards, so kinko kinko. Then this girl was like, which award they give? I'm sorry, like this. I said, they'll not give you Sikla of the Year. You know, at that point, I did not know how much like that word like really got. You know, when you don't know that something really hits you until whenever I see this person, I'll just remember that word. You know, at that point, it just felt like, okay, God, what is really even happening? Oh yeah, let's even talk. Why? You know, when you come and share testimony, it felt like I was sharing the same testimony. So today I'm saying, okay, I want to thank God because I had breathing issues and then I can breathe well now. And then somebody that saw you testify last week is the person that is blowing you breath that you are not breathing in. They're wondering that, what is wrong with this person? So, you know, at that point, it just felt like a whole lot. And then a lot of people knew me that, you're always going to church, going to church, going to church. So at that point, it just felt like, okay, God, don't you heal? And I think one part that really, really got to me was, you know, at times when God would not tell me to like pray for healing for somebody. And then they tell me that, okay, while you were praying, I was feeling chest pain, it's gone. And probably, even when I'm praying for you, God, I'm feeling pain. I don't know if you, so sometimes it always felt like, why is it not working? I don't know if you get it. So, you know, at that point, at some point, I just started to feel somehow about it, but everything is perfect now. I still feel those things, right? But I just know that I am way better than I used to be.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, you won't kick down, like you won't see now,
coming after me.
There's no shadow you will light up,
no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.
There's no wall you won't kick down,
no wall you won't kick down,
lie you won't tear down,
coming after me.
There's no shadow you will light up. Around you will make you question God. If you have been through experiences in life where, especially where the people who are involved are people who love God so much, and you've seen them serve God, you've seen them follow God, your expectation is that something will just happen all of a sudden and God is here like Superman just showing up. Then you waited and waited and waited and nothing happened. I remember the person that's supposed to be the last born in our house, someone already died before me. So my mom had 7, someone already died before me. So I was like a consolation because they had the first son, then they had second daughter, they had third daughter, so they needed a male child. Then this girl came, then somewhere along the line she died. So I now came, then after myself, my younger brother, then
the last one came, I can remember the song my mom was singing that day. I can remember people gather. And we waited for several hours, like we're singing from the midnight when she died. We waited for several hours into the morning, we were singing. We had all our, everybody believed that this girl would wake up. But somehow she didn't. And those are moments where, especially when you're growing up, you now ask yourself, where are they taking me to? Are they deceiving me? Like, why are you taking me to church? Do I have to follow you people? What's really happening? And you know, there are times where you just, the devil makes it feel like everything makes no sense. Serving God doesn't make sense. Like, I've been there. I've had two experiences like that in my life when my dad passed on also. But I've also had experiences where I called God and He showed up. I had those times in my life. But if you have not read scriptures, you will not understand what God promised. And you will not understand that there will be times in life where certain things will happen. And there will be a test of our faith. If you look through the pages of scriptures, you see a lot of people went through different things. And I've shown us before in the book of Hebrew, you know, just imagine some of us, you are carrying the burden of your family, you're just 23 or 24, and your elder ones are calling you, your parents are calling, you know, there's this pain. Then you're beginning to ask yourself, then what's the need? Why are we even serving God? Why? I thought pastor said He would provide. I thought they said He would show up. But God told us something. He said that He will be with us even to the very end. He didn't promise us that we will not face afflictions and have trying times. But you see, one of the things I've loved about God, I've seen people who love God and serve God go back to their old ways because they were broke. And the only people that could help them were people that see. And when they go back to their old ways, it now looks to them like they're flourishing. Do you understand what I'm saying here? It now looks like, oh, here you see now, everything is now working. Why am I now serving God? But you see, Christianity is not about the things you have in material. If you have not grown to the point where you understand the value of eternal life, if you know what eternal life is, nothing in time will bother you. If you know what eternal life is, nothing in time will bother you. If you read through the pages of scriptures and you see that even Jesus came to the point where He looked at Lazarus and He wept. Now, not like He could not do anything. He was just looking at everything happening. Whether He raised Lazarus from the dead that day or not, one day Lazarus will still die. Everything is as a result of the fallen nature of man. There are many things that God is not involved in. He would have loved to show up for us, but He assured us that all things work together for good to them that love Him. And in the midst of our pain, we'll still believe Him. The reason, because in the midst of His pain, His Father still allowed Him to die for us. Jesus, like you and I, was on the cross and crying like, "Why are you forsaking me? I'm your son." He was crying to the Father. Clearly, everybody saw Him. He was literally naked. He was beaten. Everything had happened to Jesus. And He was looking at His Father. And He was saying, "Father, why?" He questioned God. That's Jesus. Like some of the things some of us are doing, that's what Jesus did. He said, my Father, why?" He didn't say, "Will you forsake me?" No, He concluded, "Why have thou forsaken me? You have left me. You have abandoned me. Why am I here like this?" He saw the cross. He saw the pain. He saw everything. Then He chose to die for us. Now, if He went through all those things to ensure that we get eternal life, child of God, trust me, there's nothing we lose in time that can be worth what He did for us on the cross. He did it so that even if we lose everything in time, He has secured eternal destiny for us.
The love of God was not necessarily for us to buy houses and build cars. These things are other things that will be added. The love of God was so that man that was perishing and would die and waste eternally in hell will be able to access salvation again and not perish. So he says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. It cost him. See, salvation is free for you, but it cost God. It cost God to give his only. Jesus was like the everything God had at the moment. But the Bible says God commended his love towards us. Romans chapter 5, if you read from verse 6. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So when things happen in our lives and the devil wants you to begin to question God, his existence and all that, remind the devil that God gave his only begotten son. There's nothing I lose in time that can be compared to my relationship or with my relationship with him in eternity. Are you getting what I'm saying here? There's nothing I will lose in time. There's nothing in time. The Bible says, but God demonstrated his love towards us. In other words, God wanted to show his love. He had to put his love in motion. He had to make sure that this thing, I want you to see it. See, some people are going to go through things on the face of planet. He said, in this world, there will be tribulations. There will be tribulations. There will be times where things will just happen. You did not expect these things. You didn't plan these things. Good things will happen to bad people. Bad things will happen to good people. Bad things will happen to good people. It doesn't mean that God has changed. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. The truth is that he has already told us before time that everything is actually working together for our good. There are many things we don't see. We are mortals. We are humans. There are many things that God will shield us from. There are many things that God will protect us from. There are many things that God has seen the future ahead, and he will say, no, just for my, allow this happen, and we'll be pained. Can you imagine how the family of the apostles would have felt that these guys followed Jesus? They were with him. They ate. They did everything together. Then one day, the wife of James comes back home and they said that they just smashed your husband's head with hammer and he's dead. I don't know how the wife would feel, but she was following Jesus. Doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't love James. No. How John the Beloved and his family would have felt that the day they took him away, the wife didn't see him again. These are people that had family. They didn't see him again. They dropped him in the island of Patmos. That was where everything about his life ended. These are men and women that followed God. Some of them saw Jesus face to face, but they had their share of the experience. The Bible says the light afflictions that we go through, they are but for a moment. They cannot be compared to the weight of glory that will be revealed in us. You see, in eternity, I don't know if it will be possible for us to shed tears in eternity, because everything seems like it's going to be joy, joy, joy. There are many things we can't explain. I don't know what will happen when we meet Jesus face to face, whether we'll be able to cry when we see him, whether we'll be able to laugh. When we meet our loved ones also that accepted Christ into their heart, I don't know what will happen. But the glory that will be revealed that day, the Bible says, can never be compared to the things that we will go through in time. Sometimes you sacrifice, like some of our people here, you sacrifice for other people to achieve something. And sometimes people just say things and it makes it feel like, where is God in the first place? But God has given us assurance that he's not far from us. He said, though you go through the fire, you will not be scorched. You go through the water, you will not be drowned. There's nothing that we go through that has changed the love of God for us. He still does. He loves us. And he cannot change. You know why? It is actually his nature to love. The Bible says that God is love. And that because God is love doesn't mean that he will just allow everything flow just like that. No. He won't. It will not just happen like that. Do you know that God loves the sinner, the prostitute, the thief, the robber, everybody. God loves every. The Bible says for God so loved the world. He didn't say the church. The world. That's why he actually sent his only begotten son. Then in the face of that love, people are still going to reject his love. You know, people don't go to hell because God hates them. People go to hell because they rejected his love. People will perish eternally because they refused to accept it. They didn't embrace it. They felt like he didn't do anything. And God is like, he cost me my son. Everything I had to ensure that you will have life. Now choose life. Many people still will not choose life. times where you serve God and you have prayed and fasted, and some people that just came from nowhere, they just overtook you and you're wondering that, I serve God past this one now. You know, there are times when you feel like you're serving God more than people. I don't know if you get what I'm saying here. Yes, somebody just comes from nowhere, she's a prostitute, and she just, luckily, somebody just carried her, married her, and they just had triplets, shining children everywhere. And somebody else has been serving God for like 20-something years of your life. And after a period of about 15 years, the person is still looking for one child. Hello? There are many things that happen in life that the devil will point at again and tell us that you're doing nonsense. But you see, this is actually part of our faith. It is part of the things that Jesus said will happen. If you look at the early apostles, the Bible says that nothing that we're going through right now is new to us. God is not, didn't give us a book that is lying. And no, if you read the Bible critically, you see that people went through the same things. They went through the same things. And it didn't change the fact that God still loved them. Some of them went through, if you read the book of Hebrews, the Bible says some of them were sawn asunder. Like they took saw and they cut them in two. And they loved it that they could die for the sake of Jesus. They loved it that they could sacrifice their lives. They loved it that they could give themselves. Why? Because they just remember that he actually did it because he loved me. If I lose time because I have gained eternity, it doesn't make any difference. Does anybody get what I'm saying today? So there will be times in our lives where some things are going in a funny direction. But if you always remember that no matter what, if I don't know what is happening in time, I have understanding that concerning eternity, I am secured in his love. It will change everything. I am secured in his love. Regardless of whatever happens, I am secured in his love. My protection is in his love. The fact that he has said he loves me, he really does love me. And I believe it with all my heart. Trials will come, temptations will come, pressure will come. You'll be forced to do things you really do not want to do. You'll be forced to, you know, live. Some people will be forced to live in ways they really don't want to live. God is saying that I see everything that is going on. I understand your pain. I understand your challenge. You just walk through and some of the friends that are around you, somebody just shows up tomorrow and you know that this person, what are you doing? And the person is driving and moving around. And you're wondering, hey, what? What? But always remember that we are in time and time will fade. Eternity is forever. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? Always remember that eternity is forever. Always remember that God has not moved one bit. His love is still there for us. If you look at the prodigal son story in Luke chapter 15 from verse 11 to 32, time will not permit us to read everything. Prodigal story. It says there's a certain man who had two sons. Then one of them eventually, the younger son, said to his father, give me the portion of the goods that falls to me. So he divided their livelihood to them. And not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possession with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pot that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he just realized that, wait, my father didn't drive me. My father didn't send me away. He still loves me. I'm going through this thing now. Do you know the father was somewhere waiting and still saying, I love you? The father was still having hope that this boy will come back home one day. The father still believed somewhere in his heart that this is my son. Do you know this boy rehearsed everything he was going to say in presence of his father, how he would try to apologize and many things, and just before he would start the lines, the Bible says as the father saw him from a distance, the father ran after him and embraced him. As he was about reciting, he says, don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. In other words, the father is saying, you don't have to explain. Seeing you shows that you have repented. Just seeing you. I have waited for you all these years. That's how God waited for us before we accepted Christ. Now wait. If God waited that long for you before you were born again, is it now that you're born again that he will turn against you? He won't. If God can wait for a sinner to run back home, if God can wait for a person who has done everything
messed up, live a terrible life. We must, in Christendom, avoid the elder brother syndrome of saying, God, how would you accept people who have done this? I have been serving you all the while. No. We must tell ourselves that regardless of whatever happens, if somebody comes today and accepts Jesus and is blessed, beautiful. It doesn't change the fact that I have accepted Jesus and I'm also serving him and I'm going through one thing or the other. It doesn't make him love me less. It doesn't make me love the other person more than myself. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? The way God loves the world is different from the way he loves his children. You must understand that. The love for the world is a general love to save them. The love for the children is a love of protection and security. It's a love that gives him everything it takes to secure. The Bible says he's able to keep them from falling that come to him. So that you have gone through one thing or the other, you have seen a lot of things happen to good people, and you probably are the one going through something in the family. You are just the one struggling. Sometimes some people have had the situation where you are the one carrying your mom or your dad to the hospital from one place to another, and they moved you out of the emergency ward, set up, and you are asking God, where are you? But God said to come and tell you this evening that he has not left you. God said to come and tell you this evening that he has not forsaken you. God said that I should come and tell you this evening. I was asking myself as I was sitting and I was like, okay. But God, we all have all our stories. He said, yes, that's why you should go and reassure my sons and my daughters that I still love them. I care about them. Whatever they go through doesn't change the fact that I sincerely do love them. Everything that the apostles went through, it didn't change the fact that Jesus loved. You saw that in the face of Jesus, he was there. You can imagine what happened to Stephen that day. Stephen was defending Jesus. He was defending God. He was telling everybody about him, that look at who he is. He's the Savior, he's the Messiah. You did this, you did that. And the Bible says that men began to stone Stephen one after the other. They were casting stones on Stephen. You know, nothing would have stopped God from sending an angel. I believe that some of the apostles would have been somewhere, you know, saying, oh, Father, send somebody, deliver Stephen, deliver Stephen. They would have prayed. I can imagine how they went back to their house that day saying, ah, God, what happened? Why? Why did Stephen? Because Stephen was like one of the most effective of the deacons. In fact, the most effective deacon at that time. And he was defending the cause of the gospel. And while he was there, they stoned him, to the point where where he was about to die, he was seeing Jesus, but Jesus did not come down. He was seeing Jesus. The Bible records that he saw Jesus and Jesus stood up as they were stoning him. I thought he was going to stand up and deliver him. No, he stood up and he said, Stephen, just come home. I'm going to give you a beautiful hug. I just want to see you, Stephen. I'm missing you. And while the people in the world were crying, Jesus was like, I'm missing you. You just did like what I did. And I like to see people like you. Well, the family will go home that night and be crying because they didn't see that revelation. We are the ones reading it. They would have gone home and they would cry that night and say, God, what did you do? Why it's Stephen? Just imagine that somebody in Stephen's family backslided because of Stephen. Stephen is the eternal glory. That one will go to hell and die. Just imagine people who said that there's no God because of what happens to Stephen. Oh no. They would have missed everything. Because Stephen himself said, I saw Jesus and he stood up. The Son of Man standing with his face shining. He says, look, I see heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. That's Stephen speaking there. He said, look, I see heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. This Son of Man standing at the right hand of God, could he not have appeared there and scattered all those guys and saved Stephen? Could God not have sent angels everywhere and they will wipe all the Roman soldiers with cane, beat all of them out of the way and say, Jesus, come down from the cross, dust yourself and let's go home. But God had a plan. The death of Jesus was going to bring the redemption of the whole world. The death of Stephen allowed every believer, the believers, the Bible says they spread everywhere. They could not stay in one place anymore. They had to spread and the gospel started spreading with all of them. I may not be able to tell the reason why anybody is going through what they are going through. But I can assure you that if you are born again, know it, that he loves you. He cares about you. What's happening to you in time does not change his heart condition for you about eternity. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? Am I communicating this evening? Yes. God did not start loving us when we got born again. God started loving us before we got born again. The Bible says it very clear. In Romans chapter 5, let me read a few of them to us. Romans chapter 5 from verse 6.
Now, hope does not disappoint. Okay, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given unto us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died not for the godly, not for the saints. Christ died for who? For the ungodly. For scarcely, in other words, it is difficult for anybody to die for a righteous man. Scarcely for a righteous man will anybody choose to die. He said, yet, perhaps, maybe for a good person, somebody will say, okay, let's die for somebody that is good. He said, no, God commended his love towards us, that we were unrighteous. We were not good, we were not nice, we weren't perfect. He came and he died for us. For God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that's the love of God. So sometimes things just go in a very funny way and the devil is telling you, are you sure this is your God? I read the story of Smith Hugo's word several years, like she was sharing. Smith Hugo's will have meetings where he will, hundreds of people will get healed, and when he gets back home, that pain on this side just hooks this man, and he prayed for all the sick people. And I believe that there will be times where he would have said, oh God, let this pain go. What is this? But the fact that it was happening to others is an assurance that God does exist. True or false? The fact that it had not happened to him, does it mean God doesn't love him? Oh no, that's not true. God still loves him. God was still willing to use him. Paul said, 3 times have I besought thee to take away this thing from me. And God said, Paul, calm down. My grace is sufficient for you. He said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. In other words, despite your weakness. You know, most of the times when somebody starts teaching people about love in church, they don't teach the love in a balanced way. They just say, God loves you, you do this, you do that. No, that's not love. That's not understanding of love. You must be able to help me understand how that love goes the extra mile to help me. There is the beauty and the passion part of love. There is the pleasure part of love. There is the sacrifice part of love. There is the discipline part of love. There is a part of love that loves you so much it will not leave you the same way you are. If some things did not happen in the life of some of us, we will not move. We will not be better. And God will use everything that he can to drive us to where we're going to. And somebody will say, does it include the death of my mother? Oh, I don't know what exactly happened that your mom passed on or your dad passed on, but I can assure you that it doesn't change the fact that God loves them. You will be shocked. You enter eternal glory and you see them. They say, so you came here. They say, why not? They will now tell you, I'm so happy I left at that time. And while we're here on the face of planet Earth crying for them, some of them are there and saying, don't do that. Still read God's generals. There are some people they raised, and as they were raising them from the dead, they were angry with those that raised them and said, please send me back. I don't like this place. Because where I'm just coming from, let me stay there. It's better to be there than to be here. But that's the place where everybody wants to stay now. It's because this is what we have seen. If you ever see a believer who has entered eternal glory with the brightness of the morning star on their face, they don't ever desire to come back here. They don't. Nobody who enters eternal glory ever wants to be. The world is a place of torment. The fallen nature of man has brought this world to a degree. The Bible says even creation itself groans. The world we are living in is not comfortable with what it is, what's happening to it. And it is part of the groaning and the bitterness and the anger of creation that makes us see some things that science explains as volcanic eruption. Earthquakes. These are heats boiling under the ground. The ground was not like that before. It's seen a kind of corruption it has not witnessed before the day God came and said, light be or whatever. And now the ground itself begins to rebel and say, no, it's waiting. The Bible says even nature itself is waiting for the redemption. Because when the trumpet of God sounds and everything shifts, the earth will not be like you see. The heaven and the earth, this one will pass away. And there will be a new one altogether. So don't let any devil tell you God doesn't love you. Don't let any devil tell you that what you're going through right now is a show that God is not there. God is useless. God is that. No. God is faithful. God is merciful. God is kind. There are times where you will look back and see that God came through for me. God came through for me. There are times where that thing will happen. Like she just said that she, there are times she even fasted and you prayed and you wanted that particular thing to change. And maybe you even sowed a seed. And you said, no, it's going to be done. Oh, they talk about power of sacrifice. Pastor preach that thing. It's going to work. And for Some other people come and share their testimony. I just think God, Pastor talk about sacrifice, and I sewn into it, and it worked. And God is saying, I know I would have allowed this particular thing work. But what's happening to you is working together for your good. Do you know that there are times in our life where it is after something has happened that we'll look back and we'll say, ah, thank God that thing happened. If that thing did not happen, there are delays. Why you are crying and you are angry and bitter that I should have done this. I should have left this house by 10 o'clock. Blah, blah, blah. Then by the time you get to the road, those that left by 10 o'clock, all of them died. So there are many things that God does to shield us, protect us and keep us. But many of the times, because we are humans and we are limited, we begin to ask ourselves questions. Is God there? God, can't you see this? God, can't you see that I'm going through this kind of thing? God, can't you see that if this thing continues like this, I'm no longer interested? And God is saying, I love you. It doesn't change the fact that I love you. I care about you. I can do anything. And I have done everything I actually need to do in Christ Jesus to prove my love. See, God doesn't need to prove to you anymore that he loves you than he had done on the cross of Calvary already. All that he needs to prove about his love for you, it was perfected on the cross of Calvary. Every single thing about the love of God for you is already revealed. Bible says God demonstrated it. So waiting for any other demonstration of love superior to what we see at Calvary, no. It's the peak of the love of God. It is the height of the love of God. And that's the reason why when the devil reminds you at any point to say, look at, tell him, devil, listen, you know what? I have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I have found Jesus. I have eternal life. With this, I am secured. With this, I am fine. In time, I will still experience the beauty of God. But whether in life or in death, whether in any situation, I still trust him. I will follow him all the days of my life. It is actually a Christianity that is not complete and a message that is not complete that makes people feel like, I have to follow God only when things are fine. No, that's not the truth. He didn't assure us that everything will be fine always, but he told us that it will work together for our good. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from them all. So a deliverance can come. It might not come in form of that person being alive. It might not come in form of that situation living immediately, but God turns everything around because he says all things will eventually work together for our good. So I came to remind somebody who's feeling like, why is this thing happening to me? Why am I going through this? Why exactly this phase? Why did this thing happen at that time? What exactly is all this? I just came to remind you tonight, God said to remind you that he loves you. He has not given up on you. That he's interested in you. He's sitting on your matter. That he will be there to ensure that things will turn around and bounce back again. Sorrow may endure for the night. He says, but joy comes in the morning. So you just wait for the morning season of your life, because you know that if he has said it, it will definitely come to pass. Are we here together, church? So do not let the devil, the accuser of the brethren, imagine the devil telling somebody, look at you. And people are very quick to talk. Some people will just come and sit in front of you that, this is your God self. Can't he help you? Wow. That was what they said to Jesus on the cross. The other guy on this side said, if you know you are the Son of God, why are you hanging on the cross? Son of God, my foot. And I can imagine how Jesus would have felt. Somebody that they just dragged his beards and removed his skin. Somebody that they have whipped all his back. And there was almost no hope. In fact, I'm not sure Jesus was seeing the guy very well, because they flogged almost his eyeballs out. And that guy said that kind of thing. That's the kind of thing somebody will say to you, and you will look at the person and curse the person's generation to the everlasting generation. Now that's the kind of thing anybody will say, and you curse the person. But the other one by the other side just said, I don't know what you guys are discussing, but I think this man is innocent. Remember me. For you to know that Jesus doesn't answer people saying nonsense things. I beg you, don't answer those who say nonsense. Only answer those who make sense. Anytime somebody around doesn't make sense, just look at them and act like you didn't hear it. Do you know Jesus did not respond to that guy one bit? Then he turned to the guy that made sense and he said, tonight, you will be with me in paradise. And child of God, that was just it. That man who had done so many terrible things in his life, just one encounter with love, Jesus displayed the fullness of his love. Just at the spot, the man had eternal life. And he met with Jesus in paradise. So I don't know what it is that you might be going through. I don't know what it is that the devil is saying. I don't know how it is. But for majority of us here, you are probably at that stage in your life. Or somebody who is an older person and you've done so much of things for God and you just discovered that there's a particular ailment. Your body's just failing you and all that. Don't worry. He said he will renew your strength. So all you do is keep holding on to his word. If I hold on to his word, I would rather, you know, held onto the word of God to the point of death than to leave God's word and see myself in another kind of pain. Holding on to the love and crying and still loving him is beautiful. I tell you the truth. There is a kind of emotion that you have not known. The kind of emotion where you know that God loves you in the midst of what you're going through. It's painful, but you are crying because you love him. It's a very beautiful emotion. I've been there where you know that what exactly is this? But you know that even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. And he never stops working. Oh, he never stops working. At the resurrection morning, he will hug you. And I'm sure that you will never even remember all the things you went through. Because as soon as we cross to the other side, the memories of time will fade into eternity. The memories of time, the pains, the afflictions, the challenges. You would have gathered questions like me that you ask God. But I tell you, when you see him, you'll be speechless. When you see him, all your questions, they will just vanish into thin air. Because everything about him and eternal glory will be love. The whole atmosphere will be filled with love that you will not be able to ask any question. He will not need to tell you he loves you. You will sense it. Some of us have not read certain books you might need to read. There are some books you might need to read. Some of Rick Joyner's books. You will sense it that love is in the atmosphere. Love, they say, is something that you cannot touch. No, in heaven, the love in heaven is tangible. You can hold it. You can feel it. You can hold it. You can see it. You can sense it. Are you getting what I'm saying here today? So never ever allow the devil lie to you that God doesn't love you. Situations will not change it. While we were sinners, he died for us. While we were weak, he still loved us. When you are wrong, it doesn't change the fact that God doesn't love you. A girl decides to leave, or a guy decides to leave serving God and gets into armed robbery, and because of the pain that he served God, and while he's robbing, God is still saying, I love you. He's not saying, now that you are robbing, I hate you. No, that's not God. It is in his nature to love. He doesn't love robbery, but he loves the robber. He doesn't love stealing, but he loves that person that was caught in the act. You see the woman caught in the act of adultery. Jesus looked at her and he said, neither do I condemn you. In other words, I will not condemn you. But as you're going, remember that you should sin no more. So some of us have done terrible things. Maybe the times you tested God and said, well, if you don't do this, I will do this. And you eventually went to do what you did. And since then, you started running away from God. There's no shadow he won't light up. He's still looking for you. In fact, it's because of you he came to this service tonight. It's because of you that he's showing up here. And he's saying, come back. You don't run from your healer. You don't run from your help. I am your father. I'm still interested in you. So I don't know how far some people have decided to run. Some people are running back. Some people are still running away. But whichever the direction you're running to, if you're running away, please come over. Let the love of God beam on you tonight so that you remember that he said we should come boldly to the throne of grace. When you remember God loves you, you'll be bold. Every time you remember God loves you, it creates a kind of boldness inside of you. But whenever you feel like God doesn't love you, you'll be afraid. You'll run away. Adam and Eve ran away from his presence because they were scared. But in the New Testament, it says, wherefore now, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. So I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you've sacrificed. I don't know the present affliction. And I don't know, maybe some of you, it's your season of breakthrough. Something good just happened in your life. For some of you, your testimony just showed up, boom, and you're excited. And some other people, you're just in the midst of your pain. You're in the dark season of your life. You're in the cold season. You're in that season where you're saying, questioning and asking questions. Whichever season you find yourself, just remember that God is not a God that is seasonal in his love. His love abides and remains forever. Am I communicating tonight? Making any sense to you tonight? Yes. So the love of God should create a wall of protection around you. The love of God should bring joy to your heart. Whenever you remember that He loves you, let it bring joy to your heart. Let it bring joy to your heart. When the devil tells you, look at you. See, you're claiming to love God. Look at what has happened to you. Just tell him, Satan, you are doomed eternally. I am saved eternally in Christ. My life is hid with Christ in God. I have found him and there's no going back. I'm holding on to him to the very end. If the apostles could hold on to him, even when they were about killing them, even when some of them saw death face to face, they did not give up. They didn't give up. Do you know that for the love of what people believe, as Israel and Hamas been fighting all this while, you know, in Gaza and everywhere, you see that some of these Hamas militants and terrorists, in the midst of that fight, as they are bombing, you know, and firing bomb everywhere, some of them are still shouting, Allahu Akbar. They are excited to die for what they think they believe. In the face, they carry their gun and they face a troop of soldiers running towards them. And they are carrying their gun in excitement. And they are shouting, Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! And they are shooting them and they will die with joy. Because they believe. They believe that when they close their eyes here, that paradise they told them, they will enter there. How much more? We that own the paradise. We that the whole paradise is in front of us. You know, they have been convinced, they have been indoctrinated. They have been told that thing, and that's why they can carry a bomb on their body like this and enter in the midst of 100 or 500 people and ready to sacrifice. Because the guy knows that if he does that thing, somebody has told him that there's a promise in paradise. Child of God, nobody needs to tell you that there's any promise anywhere. Eternal life is too sure. The hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie has promised us. Are you getting what I'm saying? So whatever it is that you're seeing in time, do not allow it to discourage you. Don't allow the pressures of life push you to do what you're not supposed to do. Don't allow the trials and the pressures of life make you feel like it's useless to serve God. Stay with Him. And I'm sure that He will guide us to the very end. In the name of Jesus. Can you just say, Jesus, I love you. Can you mean it from your heart and say, Jesus, I love you. Can you say, thank you for loving me. Thank you for calling me. Thank you for embracing me. Thank you for receiving me. Thank you for showing me mercy. Thank you, Jesus, that you never left me the way I used to be. You have picked me, sanctified me, washed me, purged me. I will not allow anything stop me from loving you all the days of my life in the name of Jesus. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my strength, my song. This cornerstone is solid ground. Firm through the fiercest trials and storm. What height of love, what depths of peace. When fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all. Here in the love of Christ alone, who too can flesh, fullness of God in hell, bless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the words he came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus said, the wrath of God was satisfied.
sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day. Up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands, Mandeleka swabre de la bara. No guilt lies, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my death in me. No power of hell, no scheme of man. That last stanza again. No guilt in life,
no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's blood to final breath,
Jesus commands my destiny. Just talk to God this night and just tell him how much you understand he loves you regardless of whatever is happening around you. Reaffirm the love of God. Reaffirm that love. Reassure yourself of the love. In Jesus, all our sins and griefs to death. What a privilege to carry everything. Oh, what peace we open for. And oh, what needless pains we bear. Carry everything to Jesus. Jesus, I roll everything to you. Follow the line. Have with trials and temptation. Is the trouble anywhere? God is prayer.
right now. Can we find a friend so faithful? Who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows now. Jesus knows our every week. Take it to the Lord. A refuge. Take to the Lord. Do your friends despise, forsake you? There's a pattern. Your friends despise, forsake. Take it to the Lord.
Take it to the Lord.
In his hand, he will take and shield you. You'll find a solid there.
We'll find a solid there.
For peace and all unneedless pains we get. You don't have to bear those pains. Just take it to God in prayer.
All because we do not carry.
Thank you, Jesus. Can you just say, Jesus, I am grateful for your love. Sometimes I may not feel it. Sometimes it doesn't look like it. But I believe your word. It's not by what I go through. It's by what you have said. Your word is settled in heaven. And it is settled. You have said you love me. And I believe it. With all my life. I believe it. Regardless of whatever happens. I believe it. That you love me. And I won't trade your love for anything. I hold on to your love. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Personally, in 2-3 minutes, can you just do a poem, do a song, do something, a love song to him, and just think of something. It might be a line of words. Just think. Now, while that is going on, if you are in church tonight and you have not accepted Jesus, or you ran away from him, you got discouraged, you walked away, or you have not accepted Jesus into your heart, I'd like to pray with you. Can you just walk to this place? Let me pray with you so that you can rededicate or accept Jesus afresh into your heart for the first time, or you want to rededicate. Can you walk down here very fast? I'm going to pray with you. Just walk down if you want to make that commitment to Jesus tonight. You want to just say, Jesus, here I am. I will serve you. Come into my heart, Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. If that's what you want to do, God bless you. Just come. I'm going to pray with you. Keep coming. If you are here, you want to rededicate your heart to Jesus. Some things happened in your life and the devil made you feel so stupid. He made you feel like, what's there serving God? And probably you drew back. Or you just want to accept Jesus into your heart. Can you come out wherever you are? I'm going to pray with you. Be fast about it. Be bold about it. Don't let that devil lie or say anything to your ears. Just come out and say, Jesus, I'm here right before you, Jesus. I make my decision. I'll follow you all the days of my life. I'll serve you all the days of my life, Jesus. I'll serve you all the days of my life, Jesus. Can you keep coming? Come with boldness. If you are coming, please come boldly. Kim, just come here. He said, if you are ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you. But if you are bold to confess me before men, He said, that is how I will confess you before my heavenly Father. Come forward, brother. Come forward to this point. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Or be Jesus, O Silaye. Jesus, Nicolore. Us in front, can you say after me, Lord Jesus, today I come to you just the way I am. I believe in my heart that you died for me. I confess today that you are my Lord and my Savior. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Forgive me of my sins. I receive eternal life into my spirit, and I declare now I am born again. I am saved. I am sanctified. I'll follow you, Jesus, all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Many before us that lost things because they wanted to follow Jesus. There are many people before us that have gone through a lot of things, but in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Let it always ring in your heart again and again that his love has not left. His mercy endures forever. No matter what your family is going through, what you're going through as an individual, keep holding on to him. Many people under the sound of my voice, after this message today, you are experiencing your own healing from whatever it is you have gone through. If it is a pain that you have gone through, emotional pain, you watched how you were indeed serving God, but you were ripped off something that was important to you. I declare healing upon you in the name of Jesus. Emotional healing in the name of Jesus. Physical healing in the name of Jesus. Spiritual healing in the name of Jesus. Sorrows may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Many of you, you have transited to your morning season. Sorrow has ended in the name of Jesus. And some of us, God is giving you grace to go through that thing because it is a process that will lead to your total shift. And men will look at you and say, truly,
God is a creator of masterpiece. You will become a masterpiece of God's special design. People will admire what God is doing through you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Can you celebrate Jesus? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Please sit up in heavenly places. Tell your neighbor he loves you. Tell them now Jesus loves you. Regardless of whatever you go through, he's there with you. All the way. All the way. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of these life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.